On Faith's Edge, episode 24, we are joined by a very special guest and a man I am both excited and honored to speak with.
Hi, this is John Schlitt, and you're listening to People Just Like Me Talk Faith and Life with Joe Taylor on Faith's Edge.
This is On Faith's Edge, where engaging, enlightening, and entertaining content brings us closer to living an authentic faith. We'll talk faith and life with people in business and entertainment as we work out the space where God and life collide on Faith's Edge. And now your host, Joe Taylor.
Yep. Hello. How are you? I have the distinct honor of bringing to you the most distinguished guest so far on the show. You are going to want to stick around for this one. I'm really glad you're here. The book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Welcome to On Faith's Edge. My name is Joe Taylor, recovering atheist and your servant in Jesus Christ. This is your place to hear conversations with people of faith in business and entertainment from all walks of life and levels of success. They all have one thing in common. They believe in God, and they come here to talk about it. Last episode, author Connie Wetzel spoke with us from a Christian perspective about learning how to have a happy, healthy life after divorce and making choices that will help heal. She, along with Michelle Borquez, wrote The You Plan. It's a detailed roadmap for women navigating the personal and circumstantial landmines of an unexpected divorce. Really, Connie laid it all out for us. You can hear that at onfaithsedge.com/23. Again, that's onfaithsedge.com/23. On today's show, let's just start it this way. It is my distinct privilege to welcome to the show President of the United States of America, the Honorable George Walker Bush. President Bush, it's an honor to have you on the show.
It is an absolute rip. I am so excited to be able to be on Faith's Edge.
How is Texas, sir?
It's the best place on earth.
And your lovely wife, Laura, how is she?
Likewise. I always say home is where Laura is.
Absolutely. So how have you been since you left the White House?
Kicking butt, scanning badges, changing the world. People say, why don't you rest? I'm saying, that's what heaven's for.
President Bush, in a couple years, as you know, we're going to have a new president of the United States.
Hopefully.
What advice will you give them?
Well, I always led from my knees. You know what I mean? I got up in the morning and did my devotions. And I find that when you stay tight with the Creator, he gives you wisdom. When you stay tight in his book, he gives you insight. And when you stay tight with his people, he gives you peace.
What do you think about the state of the union right now?
Are you kidding? There's never been a greater opportunity than we have right now in America. The market is rebounding. The real estate is kicking. Entrepreneurs are out there making it happen. And the world is looking better and better for democracy.
Wow. President Bush, we really, really miss your optimism. Thank you so much. I got one last question for you. I know you're busy and I know you just gave me a few minutes, Mr. President. And this is a rather serious question. So if you can just bear with me here. I don't know if you knew this or not, Mr. President. There is a man out there. His name is John Morgan. And he thinks he looks and sounds like you. This guy is running all over the country, making people laugh and think about life. And then he somehow tries to wrap it all up talking about God.
If I know that character.
If you could say something to this guy right now, what would you say to him?
I feel sorry for you. Stuck with this face? Are you kidding?
I am talking to none other than John Morgan himself, a George W. Bush impersonator extraordinaire. John, that is uncanny, brother. That is uncanny. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show, man.
It is an absolute privilege. I appreciate so much every time I have a chance to make people laugh, lift folks up, and give them a little bit of insight.
It seems that you were born to do this, John. How long have you been impersonating President Bush?
You know, I'm not sure how I feel about that, Joe. I was born to be somebody else. But then actually, aren't we all, you know, because once we have faith and we have Christ in us, we are somebody brand new.
We are a new creation. Amen. Big save.
So I missed your question. Sorry.
How long have you been impersonating President Bush?
Going on 12 years.
12 years. So let's do the math here. This 12 years is into...
3 years into his first term. Yes, sir.
At what point did you realize that you looked like President Bush and you sounded like President Bush and you had the mannerisms of President Bush?
Well, it was a bit of a process, but I was with my wife helping to set up for a George W. Bush, then governor of Texas, running for president appearance in Orlando. And one of his staffers was the very first person to look at me and say, you know, you look a lot like W. But I still didn't. I didn't at that time know that I could sound like him or act like him. No clue to those things. That came later.
So it just didn't register you right away. I mean, you worked for his campaign. You just didn't realize it until this campaign worker came up and told you.
That's right. Wow. It had never occurred to me. And of course, as his face became more and more recognizable, the frequency of people stopping me on the street and making a comment to me increased. And it was the third year of George W.'s first term that someone actually said, you know, John, there's an emerging industry of lookalikes, professional lookalikes that get hired out to go to parties, this and that. And she said, you should do that. And I'm like, yeah, no.
What were you doing before you were W?
Helping my mom and dad run their appliance business in Orlando, which is the job I had for the previous on and off 30 years.
Wow.
Started as a teenager and pretty much other than a stint trying to make it as a gospel musician, that's almost the only place I ever worked.
You are a musician and a very good one at that. So you tried your head at being a gospel musician.
Yes, recorded a couple albums, toured a bit with my wife, and I lacked two key elements to make it in the music business as a Christian, talent and integrity.
Okay, there's not a lot you can do about the talent part, John, but let's talk about the integrity part.
Well, I still battle with laziness and disorganization.
Okay.
And I just was not a manager and really just did not have the discipline to do the hard work that it requires to succeed in this business. First of all, I didn't know what the hard work was what was required for me to succeed in this business. And like every time I would book a concert, I'd be so excited that I'd take the next 3 days off, you know? So it was just laziness and foolishness that caused me to not succeed in those early days.
Well, you are certainly not, I can't speak to the foolishness part because if anybody talks 15 minutes with you, you know, they might think twice about you not being foolish, but the laziness part, you are everywhere, John, everywhere. Where has this newfound George W. Bush impersonating career taken you?
All over the world. It's been an amazing ride. My wife and I have had the privilege of ministering and entertaining, and I do both. Sometimes I'm hired by corporate clients to spice up their annual sales meeting, and sometimes I'm hired to speak on a Sunday morning at a church.
So it's very exciting to be able to do both. Been on national television in China, Holland, Japan. Been on stages in Canada, Mexico many times, multiple times, Mexico, Jamaica, the Bahamas, and all over the United States.
Are they all faith-based venues or events, or some secular?
Yes, some are corporate clients looking for entertainment and that wow to spice up perhaps the beginning of their sales conference or to speak on customer service.
Wow. John, outside of your performance, have you ever been approached by people who think you really are the president?
Oh, many, many times. Absolutely. One day, my wife and I were in New York City, and we walked into the Empire State Building. And the manager of the Empire State Building happened to be in the lobby that day. And my two sons were dressed as Secret Service agents. And when we walked in,
stop for a second. Please tell me you're on your way to doing something, or have you guys your whole family just assimilated into this life?
Joe, we have fun for a living.
That's outstanding. Go ahead with your story. I'm sorry.
Yeah. None of us are wrapped too tight, and we love that fact. So we go into the Empire State Building, and you know, God providentially works with us and opens doors we could never open. But we're audacious enough to try. And so it's so much fun. We walked in there. We were, frankly, just walking around New York City dressed like Secret Service agents and the president just to have fun and watch the buzz that it creates. And in the Empire State Building, the manager immediately grabbed us, took us on his private elevator to the top of the Empire State Building, where we went out on the observation deck and just freaked people out from all over the world. And he had so much fun watching us, he wound up buying us theater tickets any show we wanted in New York City.
At this point, did he realize that you weren't really the president?
He immediately knew we weren't the president.
Okay.
But he wanted to play with us.
That's cool. That is very cool. So, you know, when you walk around, John, you and I met at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee a few weeks back. When you walk around, and I don't know if this is just something that you've learned or taught yourself to do, but your mannerisms, the way you hold yourself, your facial expressions are all George W. Bush. Is that something that, okay, you realize that, okay, you had a hint of George W. Bush likeness in you, and you just kind of worked on the mannerisms, and you worked on the speech, and you worked on the way you stood and the way you walked?
Yes, it was a very intensive study. Once I decided to do this, I decided to give it all I've got. And so I studied watching videos, tons and tons of videos. I would record myself trying to mimic what I saw him do and then watch the two of them side by side. It was just, you know, a wonderful process. I thoroughly enjoyed the adventure of learning how to do it. But yeah, it's like if you're an illusionist, if you're good at it, nobody can see what's going on behind the scenes. It just happens, and that's the way I approach this.
So you've been a George W. Bush impersonator for 12 years now. Is this your gig? Is this your thing? Is this what you do?
Oh yeah, this is what I've done full time for 12 years.
And my gosh, you are great at it. Your show is absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And your testimony, your the stories that you tell really speak to the heart, man. And it's just a great, great show. I've seen it, and I really, really appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to do what I do. I don't take it lightly, and I love every minute of it.
Have you ever had anything just really crazy happen to you? I mean, you talked about the hotel manager, but anything just really just weird?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
This is a family show, so.
I know, and that's why I chuckled and decided not to say what I was about to say. my mind is racing to find appropriate content. I mean, it's not like the whole thing has been this off-color weird thing, which it hasn't, because I've not received a single complaint that anything I've ever done has been anything other than totally family friendly. But, you know, a few funny things happen. Like, I got chased by a drunk in Boston. Well, I'm a Democrat. You know. Well, that's okay. We're all in this together, you know. That was a unique instance.
Well, you may have given me some insight into my next question here by how you actually found out that you looked like President Bush, but maybe I shouldn't step into this world, so we'll step in and step out. Do you have a political affiliation?
Oh, I'm a huge fan of George W.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's the best thing that happened to America since sliced bread. The only regret that I have is that he did not have the opportunity to even more teach his values. The values of the Bush family are just super good for this country. They're biblical values without even being religious. Kindness, generosity, openness, friendliness, and in the role that I play, I've had the privilege of hearing dozens and dozens and dozens of the stories that people have to share of their encounters with the Bush family. And it's always the same. They were gracious. They were warm. They were friendly. They were outgoing. They were hospitable. I mean, they could put on a clinic on any one of those areas.
You know, the whole world can say what they want about President Bush, but the one thing that is undeniable is his faith was genuine, sincere, from the heart.
No question. I know that to be a fact.
Yes.
He had, you don't have morning devotions at 4 a.m. Every morning unless you're the real deal.
Well, John, this show is about faith, specifically your faith and how you live out your belief in God. How did you come to believe in Jesus Christ?
My mom became a Christian when I was about 15 years old. We had been raised in a religious environment, but none of us came to faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. We just had a religious experience. But my mom got saved. And I watched her change overnight, and she became this happy, wonderful, outgoing, energetic, evangelistic, faith-filled person. And honestly, I wanted nothing to do with it because I was having my fun, in, you know, with the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of the 70s. And I mean, I was a sinner and loved the fact that that was true. But as I pursued a life of decadence, I found myself lonely. I found myself in riskier and riskier environments and behaviors, and I found myself unable to love, unable to understand what love was. And so one day, Mom drugged me to church again, which she had done many times before. And see, I had this whole double life going. You know, I played the Christian for her, but I knew in my heart that I wasn't. She drugged me to church. I didn't want to be there. You know, couldn't get out of there fast enough. But at the end of the church, end of the service, the guest couple that were preaching gave an altar call. And to my surprise, God drew my heart irresistibly to himself. March 5th, 1975. And next year will be my 40th anniversary of becoming a Christian.
Wow. Wow. So you came to church that day. You're a teenager, is that right? Or
I was 18 years old.
18 years old. You didn't even want to be there. You wanted nothing to do with what was going on. You were just doing that to pacify your mother at the time.
Right.
And God grabbed a hold of your heart and pulled you to him.
Yes.
How cool is that, man?
How you know, cool the funny is thing is my sister, Mom dragged my sister, my older sister, who I had idolized. She'd hitchhiked around Europe, and she was this hippie, and I just thought she was the cat's meow, you know. And mom brought us both to church, and she actually ran out in the middle of the service. And so she went one way and I went the other.
I guess I have to ask, where is your sister's faith now?
She's still my best friend, and we read Jesus Calling to one another every morning, and she is the brightest light in Orlando for Jesus.
Wow. That is cool, man. You know, you came to Christ as an 18-year-old young man, and you've lived a life of faith since then. But have you ever had a time since you genuinely gave your life to Christ that you doubted your faith or even the existence of God, John?
Just brief glimpses of doubt that I quickly dismissed because I was able to see the mortal danger in that train of thought. So, you know, little tiny moments when you wonder, and then I would quickly dismiss them because I didn't want them to have any strength in my life. But I will say, although I did not doubt the Lord, it took 5 years for me to turn loose of some of the life-dominating sins that had held me captive before I was a Christian. That was a long, arduous process.
But it was a process. It was a process that you surrendered to Him. And while, you know, many times you hear these stories of, well, Jesus reached down and took it all away from me. And then you hear stories like yours where you went through a process and you,
yes,
and God cleaned you through that process. That's very cool, man. That's
The problem, and many Christians have this incorrect paradigm, is that I thought I had to do it for God. I thought that I had to live a victorious Christian life in order to please God. So I would try and I would fail and I would promise again and fail and I would, you know, grit my teeth and try to be good, and it just never worked. And then finally, someone explained to me that it's not about me. It's about God being my champion. It's about me being vulnerable and saying, Lord, without your help, I can't do this. And when I finally understood that it's His power within me that gives me the ability to overcome sin, then I started having victory over temptation. But as long as I was trying to do it for Him or to earn His love, no way does that work.
John, you spent a long time in your family business, and you've spent the past 12 years in the entertainment business, some secular shows and some faith-based shows. But have you ever had a time where sacrificing compromising your principles of faith, you know, for the sake of profit or for the sake of expediency or for the sake of, you know, just getting something done right away, that compromising your principles of faith seemed like the right thing to do?
Or shortcutting to fame.
Right.
I had the script sent to me to a movie with a role for George W. Bush in it that was very bad. And I just had the opportunity to, it would have been a high budget, regular Hollywood release. And I'm 95% sure I could have landed the role. But the script was horrid, and it was insulting to the president. And so, yes, the temptation to consider that and to excuse away the immorality of it all was there. And I had to make a decision what road to take. And I'm very thankful to say that I set a principle as a younger Christian that I didn't ever want to do or do something that I couldn't show my children.
Wow, what a great way of putting it. You didn't want to do something that you couldn't show your children. You know, John, you had something very significant happen to you in your family. Actually, well, happened in your family. Just put it that way, and I'll let you tell the story. Literally, within the past day, tell us about this.
my 23-year-old son has followed in his father's footsteps in living a double life and has declared his Christianity but not lived his Christianity. And it finally came to a head a couple of days ago in an instant that clearly demonstrated to him the fruit of foolishness. And I won't go into details, but it got him into some trouble. And I'm very thankful that his brother came to his rescue in terms of confronting him, myself as well, his mom too, and challenging him on some excuses he was giving and some postures that he was taking, and didn't let up. And all the while praying and asking God to give him insight and help him see the truth. We found out later today, too, that many people were praying for him, many, many people. But last night at 3 a.m, he came home from yet another meeting with his brother, and three of his brother's good friends, all Christians, having it out with him. And he came in and got me out of bed and made a full and beautiful confession of his sin, of his existence, living a double life, and pretty much just blew my hair back with all of the revelations that he shared with me. And then I was able to gloriously walk him through the sinner's prayer, and he gave his life to Christ. And all day today, I've enjoyed the fellowship of a newborn Christian, my son.
Wow, John. Thank you for sharing that, brother.
Today is a momentous day in the Morgan household.
Absolutely. And to put this in perspective, this is, I don't know when you're listening to this, but this is March 17th, 2014. And John,
St. Patrick's Day
in 2014. And John and I are talking at about 10 o'clock in the evening. And you have literally almost at this point been up 24 hours in this. I mean, almost a full day. This is amazing. Very cool, John.
It's good. It's good. God is good, and he's shown himself to be what he has always shown himself to be, and that is faithful.
And angels are celebrating, brother. That is great, man. That is great. Tell us about your new projects. What do you have going on?
Well, I just got through training on becoming a world-class Secret Service customer service trainer. And by Secret Service, I am referring to the practice of a company going behind the scenes to gather intelligence about their customers in order to wow them with service and customer service that makes them say, how did they do that? How did they know that? How could they be that special to wow people? And so now I have the ability to not only wow folks myself during my presentation, but then to give a seminar or a half-day teaching on how they as a company can incorporate these techniques in order to wow their own customers. That's very exciting. That's a new project. I'm also working on a book on overcoming fear because I'm very, very passionate to see people released to their full potential. My theme verse is John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And where I meet people who are being abused by the enemy and living less than that full life that Christ promised us, that he came to give us, then I want to get involved and I want to see people released into the fullness of their potential. I want to continue to have a conversation with folks that are interested in doing so with me by having them read my blog and then comment on it, And it's a good way to keep up with what I'm doing and to be a part of this growing audience of folks just having fun and helping me to and enjoying this adventure with me.
Have you set up your blog yet?
Oh, yeah. You can find me at johncmorgan.tv.
Perfect. Man, you have got a lot going on, John. You have got a lot going on. Who would have thought? I'm just, your story is just blows me away because not too long ago, I mean, 12 years ago, which frankly, at our age is a blink of the eye, 12 years ago, you were working in your mom and dad's store, just kind of living life and not sure if you had any real direction, but it was what it was. And here you are, a world-class speaker in front of world leaders. It's gotta be surreal, man.
I'll tell you, it's very exciting. And again, the faithfulness of God is on display. When the Lord let me know he wanted me to lay down my ministry back in the 80s, I remember specifically hearing a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit saying, "Remember, John, I used Moses after 40 years on the backside of the desert." And as a 20-something-year-old kid, you really don't want to hear that because you don't want to think it's going to be 40 years before God uses you. On the other hand, look at the effectiveness of Moses, for Pete's sake. You know, I mean, you know, if in your last moment of life you can change the world, that's a life well lived. So, you know, so for the next 20 years, Joe, I begged God. I mean, it went from begging God to not let me miss his will and living in fear that I was going to somehow, you know, not be on the platform when the train comes to my destiny and be doomed to live a second-class life as a Christian because I wasn't where I needed to be at the right time. And then, you know, and I would pray, "Oh God, please don't let me miss your will. Please don't let," and it was not a prayer of faith. It was a prayer of desperation. And I remember after praying that prayer thousands of times over years, one time the Holy Spirit just kind of whispered in my spirit. He said, "You know, I heard you the first time." and then I had this paradigm shift. I realized, oh yeah, God is sovereign, isn't he? I mean, he's all powerful. He keeps the planets in balance. He can make sure that I need to be where I need to be when I need to be there in order to fulfill the call that he has on my life. I'm not running from him. I'm looking for him. And so I went from anxiety to learning how to wait with joy. And that process is difficult, but it's what God drew me through for another 10 years or so until the whole George Bush thing came along. And when it came along, I thought, there is no way God wants me to become a George Bush in person. I mean, in my mind, it's like, come on, a pastor, I could see that, you know. I could see him wanting to be some lay minister or jail evangelist, but an impersonator? I mean, please, you know, my opinion of impersonators at the time, needless to say, was not very high. And so, you know, my pride, my fear of what people would think of me was in full gear. And I just said, no, not going to do it. Not even going to think about it. And then this thought hit me. How do you know it's not God? And when I had that thought, I couldn't ignore it. I had to find out. And I didn't want to find out that it was God, but when I did, it was one of those things, I'm obeying because it's you, Lord, not because I want to do this. And yet, God had, of course, the last laugh because he had this incredible blessing in store that I had no idea would come about.
And it has come about, man. It's just been very, very cool to see. It really has, John. Let's do a round of instant insight into John Morgan. John, yeehaw. This is where I'm going to ask you quick questions, and you simply respond with answers that'll make us feel like your best friend when we're done. Fair enough?
Okay.
What single person, and John, the rule is you're not allowed to say Jesus. What single person had the biggest impact in your life?
That sounds like a biblical prohibition. If I can't say Jesus, am I still a Christian? My mom.
Your mother.
Yes, no doubt.
The most exciting thing I ever did was?
On my honeymoon night.
Oh my gosh. This listen to the next question. My wife, Kathy, makes me
smile.
God is
the best.
My next big career move is
podcasting.
Drill for oil or save the rainforest?
Oil, baby.
The one thing I want my sons, Christopher, Stephen, Daniel, and Jonathan, to know about me is?
I love God with all my heart.
In the past year, I paid way too much for?
Everything.
I'm afraid of?
God.
What single...
In a healthy way, you know.
Sure. What single Bible passage has the most meaning to you, John?
John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full.
Here you are, sought-after performer, motivational speaker, traveled the world, met presidents, and performed in front of some of the world's most influential people. What does success mean to John Morgan today?
Being in the smack middle of the will of God and obeying him.
Finally, John, as we wrap up, what would you say to somebody that is right on faith's edge, about to make that choice to believe or not to believe in God?
Oh, buddy, I am so happy for you. You are about to embark on the most exciting, the most amazing, the most life-changing, the most hard-to-fathom adventure that you could possibly believe. And I look forward to meeting you in heaven. And you say, John, you are so right. Jump in. Don't hold back. Go for it with all your heart.
John, I don't think we can say anything more than that. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I really appreciate it. What an amazing story you have. I just cannot wait to watch more of it. God bless, brother. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it, Joe.
Take care, my friend. Wow. What a great, great talk with John Morgan. John travels as the face of President George W. Bush at corporate, comedic, and family-based events around the world, bringing joy and inspiration to millions of astonished people who might otherwise never have had an audience with America's commander-in-chief. With a small cadre of Secret Service agents stationed around him, John nods his head and greets the crowd with the president's trademark Texas drawl. John's show combines his hilarious but respectful impression of President Bush with a few famous George W. faux pas, blend it with a mix of parody songs, and he finishes up with an inspiring message about hope and determination. He elicits heartfelt laughter from both sides of the political aisle, and he is absolutely hilarious. John, thank you so much for being with us today. John, you are absolutely fantastic. John's website is johncmorgan.com, and his blog, as he mentioned in the show, is johncmorgan.tv. His Facebook and Twitter links can be found in today's show notes at onfaithsedge.com/23. That's onfaithsedge.com/23. John's book, My Life as a Bush and My Heart for Imitating Jesus, is filled with laugh-out-loud stories, audacious encounters, and spiritual insights. Each chapter of John's story encourages readers to become imitators of the greatest man who ever lived, that is, Jesus Christ. That book, as well as his other projects, are available on Amazon.com, and I'll be certain to put some links to his projects in the show notes. In fact, we are giving away one free copy of John's book on this show. All you need to do is go to onfaithsedge.com and sign up for show updates, and we'll choose one person at random to receive a free copy of My Life as a Bush by John Morgan. Thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate you being here. You mean a lot to me, and you mean a lot to this show. What do you think of the show today? What do you think about John's imitation of George W. Bush? What do you think about how he mixes that imitation of George W. Bush into a spiritual message? I would absolutely love to hear from you. Just go to onfaithsedge.com/24 and leave your comments, and we'll have a conversation. If you like the show, would you be kind enough to leave an honest rating and comment on iTunes? iTunes is by far the biggest portal to shows like this one. It really helps the show notes. It really helps the... I'm having a rough time today. It really helps the show's exposure and gets the word out about On Faith's Edge. So the iTunes link to the show is onfaithsedge.com/iTunes. Again, that's onfaithsedge.com/iTunes. Remember, God is real and eternity is now. Let's go out and live like it.